So this week we get some more weeping and gnashing of teeth. Woo! And these odd little images. Teeny tiny little mustard seeds, yeast, pearls, fish, treasure. So many things. Where to start? Maybe we start with the context. Jesus was talking to this giant crowd from a boat. They're all hanging out on the shore, and he's in a boat. And these folks on the shore, they were not rich or wealthy or powerful. The folks that followed Jesus around were the regular villagers, farmers and carpenters, tradesmen, the ones he describes in the Sermon on the Mount. Blessed are the poor in spirit, the mourning, the meek, those who are hungering and thirsting for justice, the merciful and peacemakers, the forgotten and disabled, the sick and diseased, those who did not fit in society's boxes and were ostracized from the community. These crowds have been told that God was to be found in one place, the synagogue, reserved for the elite, the priests, the wealthy. God was also with the Roman Empire, stamped on every coin, the one who brought peace through military presence and taxes. Jesus was followed by these giant crowds because he preached something else. This good news that God was not just for the wealthy, but God's kingdom was for them too. So the crowds followed Jesus, and they were so large that he had to climb in a boat, go off, so everyone could hear him. And from this boat, he shares this whole cadre of parables. And we started with the one 2 weeks ago, where Jesus shared the story about a wild sower who sowed seeds everywhere, rocks, soil, weeds, and ravens. And then Jesus told the story we heard last week of weeds and wheat growing together, happily cohabitating, goodness and evil until the end of time, when love promises to win out. And then we get these tiny little mini descriptions of how things work in God's world. New Testament and Jewish Studies professor Amy Gillivine, who actually wrote the picture book I just read to the kids, she writes that the word parable comes from two Greek words. Para, as in parallel, meaning to put something side by side, and balo means to cast or throw. So a parable takes two images and compares them side by side. But when we look at the connection between what happens in the story and what happens in our own lives, we begin to see these new things. The parables are more than simple comparisons. A parable asks us to think about very important matters: our relationship with others, our place in the world, how we can be better people. A parable can challenge us to see that there is more to life than we had imagined. For example, a tiny mustard seed can grow not into a simple plant, but a gigantic tree that provides shade and medicine and spice, flavor, and shelter for all who need it. The power of a story, the power of multiple stories. We are a people of stories. At least we used to be. I was reminded of that this week as I got to be the chaplain for Lutheran summer camp Marlew Ridge up in Frederick, Maryland. There on the top of a mountain without cell phones, internet, or screens, stories became the way that we passed time. They became really important. Cabin leaders told stories while campers tread water for their swim tests. Stories happened while we were waiting for the next thing to begin. We heard stories when we were hiking. to distract us from the gnats and the inclines and the tiredness. Staff acted out stories to explain the camp rules on Sunday night in a very entertaining way. And they even did silly Christmas stories on Tuesday night through these wild thunderstorms that throwed off our schedule and best laid plans. Sometimes we even sang stories. We sang stories of God's goodness and steadfast love, God's promise of mercy and justice, stories of prayers to be awake to God's presence, the gift of being up on the mountain, how even the bear gives thanks for the mountains. The bear thanks the Lord for the mountains. The fish thanks the Lord for the sea, blah, blah, blah. And we thank the Lord for God's goodness that we're all about to receive. Amen. All of these stories were without pomp and circumstance. There was no high-tech or visual aids. Though we did have a presentation of unlikely critters on Monday nights, and the tarantula inspired some arts and crafts the next day, much to the horror of this pastor. With the help of just a few black pipe cleaners and a piece of string and a stick. Most of the things we did at camp had simple purpose: to have fun, to experience the beauty of God through creation, to experience the love of God through community. And all of it happened through a billion little stories. And I think perhaps that's the point of Jesus's little mini parables. I really appreciate that there's no explanation for any of these. Well, except the last one with the weeping and gnashing of teeth. But like I mentioned last week, that was Matthew's thing. His community needed a little justice in the midst of all the persecution and suffering that happened to the early Christian community. They needed this little hope that all that was not what would be. What I appreciate about these parables in chapter 13 is just the plethora of them. So many examples of God showing up, not in a house of worship or in a king's palace, but in a tiny seed, on a woman's kitchen prep counter, in a field, at the sea. These simple images that the crowd would have been able to relate to. Images they encountered on a daily basis, and yet with a surprising twist, mysterious and profound stories that would have reminded them that God was right here in their midst, the sacred and the secular and the ordinary every day. And what wild things happen when God does show up in the ordinary every day. A mustard seed turns into a tree. A woman using yeast makes enough dough to feed an entire town. 3 measures of flour is not 3 scoops. 3 measures of flour would be 40 to 60 pounds of flour. Enough to feed, I don't know, maybe 5,000 people, plus women and children. Spoiler alert, that's our story for next week. A merchant who, when finding a pearl of such incredible beauty, decides to give up the hunt and entirely change their profession. There is mystery and wonder and maybe even a little confusion in these stories. They are meant to poke at us in a different way, depending where we are in our lives. And maybe that's the point. For God will stop at nothing to try and reach us. If only we have ears to listen, God will tell us a billion ways that we are loved. There is enough. Some things are worth giving up everything for. And indeed, all are welcome, always. It reminds me of the classic TED Talk, The Danger of a Single Story, by Chinua Achebe Adichie. She's a popular author originally from Nigeria, And she shares a few really important examples of why we need many stories and many perspectives. She starts with this story at the beginning. I grew up on a university campus in eastern Nigeria. My mother says that I started reading at the age of 2, although I think 4 is probably closer to the truth. So I was an early reader, and what I read were British and American children's books. I was also an early writer, and when I began to write at about the age of 7, stories in pencil with crayon illustrations that my poor mother was obligated to read. I wrote exactly the kind of stories I was reading. All of my characters were white and blue-eyed. They played in the snow. They ate apples. They talked a lot about the weather and how lovely it was that the sun had come out. Now, this despite the fact that I lived in Nigeria. I'd never been outside Nigeria. We didn't have snow. We ate mangoes. And we never talked about the weather because there was no need to. My characters also drank a lot of ginger beer because the characters in British books I read drank ginger beer. Never mind that I had no idea what a ginger beer was. And for many years afterwards, I would have a desperate desire to taste ginger beer. But that is another story. Dear ones, we need multiple stories. Stories that we can see ourselves in, stories that crack open our stereotypes, reminding us how many dimensions we all have on this cute little marbled blue and green planet. Stories that remind us of our common humanity. Stories that help us celebrate and honor the diversity. Stories that remind us of who God promises to be, not only for us, but for our neighbors. And stories of who we are to be as God's people. Stories that force us to slow down and be present to the miracle of life all around us, and the frogs and flowers and water and trees and mountains, and the profundity of human kindness. Stories that are just silly and bring us joy. Because the art of being storytellers lives within all of us. Despite the world telling us just to be consumers, all of us have 1,000 stories waiting to be told, and 1,000 stories we need to hear. If I had time, I would make you share a story to your neighbor. But, you know, the Lutheran practice is 8 to 10 minutes for a sermon. So here's your challenge for the week, should you choose to accept it. God loves you no matter what. But I wonder, what would you compare the kingdom of God to, if someone asks? What story would you share of God's love, goodness, and care? If you need some inspiration, come volunteer at our VBS this week, or sign up to help at our County Fair hospitality tent in a few weeks. For dear ones, I truly believe the kingdom of heaven is like a cold, free bottle of water on a hot day. The kingdom of heaven is like a group of kids inviting the new kid to come and play. The kingdom of heaven is like a contagious, surprising joy of a homemade ice cream cake with sparklers on top. And yes, this happened at Marlew Ridge. The kingdom of heaven is right here among us. And for that, indeed, all we can say is amen. Thanks be to God.